I can remember Mother did quite a bit of freezing, she did quite a bit of canning, my sister and I always had to do washing the fruit jars and getting them just crystal clean and rinsing them and getting them ready for the canning season. We weren't large enough to do in the canning, but the older girls did that part of it. Then we had our hogs, our swine that we raised and killed, and my dad always raised New Hampshire hogs because they made the best bacon. And of course he had the other hogs too, but we had to pick a real cold day to kill hogs, and they always had to have the wash pots filled up with water and build the big fires around them and have the water boiling hot, and they would shoot the hog and hang them and then cut the head off and let the hog, the blood drain from the hog, of course. And so then we would have make our own bacon from that. We had our own bacon, we had our own sausage, and we could never wait till Mother got the sausage season. We were always anxious for her to get the sausage meat ground and it seasoned where we could sample it to see if it was just right or not. We always had to put on a skillet of sausage, and then we had the mustard and the bread and all to take care of the rest of it. But that was the highlight of the day as far as killing hogs. However, then the lard had to be cooked out, and it had to be stirred all the time and make it into cracklings. And Mother would seal up some of the cracklings to have all during the year, you know, to make crackling cornbread, because occasionally we like crackling cornbread. And back to the farming, another thing that I forgot to tell you was that on the farms we had fertilizer that came in cotton bags. It was sacks, and they were I guess 6 inches square, but it was 100 bags of 6-8-4 or 4-4-4 or 4-10-7 or 13-13 or something. And Mother would make us wash those bags and boil them and put a lye on them to where it would take those numbers that the sacks was marked in black with to take them off. And then she made our bed sheets for it, out of them for the beds. And they were kind of rough to sleep on sometimes, but the more they was washed, the softer they got. And she was a real good seamstress, and since she made a lot of our clothes, she would take those sheets and make what she called a flat fell seam, where there wouldn't be any raw seams in, or where they wouldn't ravel anything like that when they was washed a lot. And she would hem them real nice and neat, and then she would take some of the sacks and make the pillowcases out of them also. And where you raveled out the sacks, she would take that thread that was raveled out, and she could crochet, and she would crochet a lace to put around on our pillowcases to make them pretty. She always made the best of everything that we had, one way or the other. We were just raised to be very conservative, and regardless of what we had, she could find a use for it. And that was one of the times I know when they quit using those kind of sacks, and they came out with printed sacks. Some of them would have a little small printed flower on them, some of them blue, green, and yellow, and what, red mostly. And she would make us clothes out of them. And she would make skirts and shorts and blouses and tablecloths and all different things, little dish towels, and she'd ravel them on the end and make a fringe around the edge, and do all sorts of things with the printed sacks. And we just thought it was really something else to have something made. It wasn't a solid color out of the fertilized sack. But when they came out with those printed sacks, we were all dolled up, we thought.
Okay. What types of social activities were there for a farming community during this time?
As far as social activities, people visited each other. They visited. We didn't have TVs back then. I can remember when we did get our first radio. But when I was a child, we visited and just sat on the porch or sat in the yard. And in the winter months, we would play checkers at night. And make peanut brittle and pop popcorn and that kind of thing. For them, that was real entertainment. And in the summer months, we would have watermelon cuttings. Get together as a group and, cut watermelon and eat watermelon. And then 4th of July was a particular season for making homemade ice cream. But we did that more than just on the 4th of July. We had ice cream suppers, and everybody would make their own ice cream. Of course, then they didn't have any electric ice cream freezers. They all had to be turned by hand, But the ice cream was much better then than it is today. That's about all the social activity I can remember,
Did y'all have any type of recreation center set up or anything like that?
Well, when my daughters came along, my children, I had two daughters, when they came along, there wasn't anything much for them to do close to home till they got old enough to date. So we got a new school at Sandrock, and our agriculture teacher kept the auditorium of our school, our old school, and it had hardwood floors in it, of course, for the basketball games and that kind of thing, and the ball tournaments and all was played there all the time. But when they got started to school, when they got up to be 18 years old, and we got the new school, and then the old auditorium was available for different types of recreation that wasn't during school season. So our ag teacher, every Friday and Saturday night, he would go up there and they drew off shuffleboard games on the floor, and they played shuffleboard, and they could play rook and checkers and that kind of thing, but he wouldn't allow them to dance because he was a real Christian man, and he was one that you didn't mind leaving your children in his care, even though you couldn't be there with them every minute, because he would see to it that they were taken care of, that they stayed in the building. And then they started skating. They all got skates, and they'd have a skating contest, and they did their skating out there in the old gym too, which they really looked forward to the weekend, because that was really an outlet for them for entertainment.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the Depression and how this might have affected your family during this time.
Well, I was born in 1927, and I started school in the fall of 1933. I don't know, I might have been a little less than 6 years old, but I got to start the school then. And I can remember we had to walk 2 miles to school, or 2.5 miles it was, to school, because they didn't have any school buses then. And my dad had a car, but my brother wasn't permitted to drive it all the time. He was only permitted to drive it on bad days. Then one of our neighbors let his son buy a truck that had a flat bed on it, and he lived at Mount Vernon, and he would charge a nickel a day for us to ride the bus. It was according to how far you lived from school, how far you had to ride, that how much he charged. And he was from Mount Vernon, so the ones that had to drive a ride all the way from Mount Vernon had to pay a dime a day. But since we just lived about middle ways, about 2.5 miles, we'd have to pay a nickel a day. And we got to ride on the back of his truck part of the time to school and back. And But I can remember very well when I started to school that I wore tennis shoes all year long. And by spring, they had holes in them. They'd worn in on the sides of them. And how my